Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says U.S. return to the JCPOA would be meaningful if sanctions are lifted. Leader of Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah says recent chaos in the U.S. Capitol has revealed President Donald Trump's true criminal identity. And U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the lawmakers are preparing to move forward on a motion to impeach Donald Trump if the president doesn't resign. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to World News. Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says anti-Iran sanctions must be immediately removed. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says sanctions are vicious and a crime against the Iranian nation.
On Friday, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, came down hard on the United States and its allies over their years-long sanctions against the Iranian people. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that the measures are based on a baseless animosity and have to be lifted right away. Iran's leader noted that setting conditions for the removal of sanctions is nonsense. He said a possible U.S. return to the 2015 nuclear deal would be meaningless if the sanctions stay in place. Ayatollah Khamenei threw his weight behind a recent move by the Iranian government to scale down its commitments under the deal known as the JCPOA, saying that Tehran will not accept any obligations without reciprocal measures, adding that it would be meaningless for the Islamic Republic to implement all its commitments under the JCPOA when the other side implements almost none of its. Ayatollah Khamenei slammed comments made by some Western countries over Iran's regional policies. He stressed that Tehran will continue to play its role for regional stability, like its recent contribution to Iraq and Syria that led to the defeat of the Daesh terrorist group there. The Iran leader said that it is the U.S. that finds its interest in destabilizing the region, noting that such plots have been explicitly stated by some American thinkers, including someone from the American Enterprise Institute. Speaking on Iran's defense capabilities, Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the country is strong enough now to deter a war similar to the one launched by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein with arms and backing of the West in the 1980s. Iran's leader then touched upon recent developments surrounding the U.S. presidential election, saying the so-called American values and democracy have turned into a laughingstock even among American friends. He said what happened in Washington, D.C. was the very thing Americans were planning to incite in Iran over a decade ago.
Iran's foreign minister takes a jab at European countries for their double standards in condemning what he called U.S. President Donald Trump's assault on the rule of law.
Those who succumbed to Trump's lawless bullying for 4 years to protect their skin at our people's expense now condemn his assault on the rule of law, but still try to use his economic terrorism against Iran as leverage.
Mohammad Javad Zarif said that European countries should grow spines to stand up against Trump's lawless conduct against Iran. Tehran has repeatedly called on the European signatories to the Iran nuclear deal to fulfill their commitments after Washington's unilateral withdrawal from the agreement back in May of 2018. Iran started to scale back commitments under the accord when the European signatories failed to meet their end of the deal under U.S. pressure. Iran says the European Union's mere talk of support for the agreement just isn't enough, and the bloc needs to compensate for the U.S. withdrawal. Political commentator Lawrence Davidson says U.S. return to the Iran nuclear deal will not be difficult under a Biden administration.
And the more Trump disgraces himself, or you can see him in disgrace, the easier it'll be for Biden to rid the country of his policies or change his policies. That certainly is going to be the case domestically, and it might very well carry over into foreign policy. So my feeling is that when the Iranian representatives meet with Biden's representatives, shall we say, it's a new ball game. And I don't think that it's going to be particularly difficult to get back to the original agreement if that's what the Iranians want. The Europeans will change their tune as well, because the type of pressure that's going to be on them will change with the Biden administration.
Head of Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement says recent chaos in the U.S. Capitol has revealed President Donald Trump's true criminal identity. Sayed Hassan Nasrallah said what Americans saw on Wednesday was a consequence of Trump's dangerous policies, which many have warned about. He added Americans used to see scenes in other countries like this, but now are experiencing them themselves. Hezbollah chief noted raid on U.S. Congress shows the true identity of American democracy, which Washington's been trying to export to other countries. Nasrallah said the event was only a small sample of what the U.S. Has been doing to other countries in the past, like Lebanon, Iraq, and others. Executive Director of American Human Rights Council says the attack on the U.S. Congress by Trump supporters show how he has divided the country across political lines.
Many of these people who participated in these riots, they are not necessarily racist and fascist. Many of them are, yes, but many are driven by high emotions. And unfortunately, it was incited by the rotten rhetoric that President Trump kept using that gives some energy to these people to act in this improper, uncalled fashion against the symbol of democracy in America. The American nation is sharply divided. Nobody can underestimate or undermine the importance of numbers in America. So when we talk that 75 million people, 75 million Americans voted for President Trump, that's not an easy number to ignore. People always looked at America and the model of democracy in America as something perfect, as something ideal, as something that cannot be touched. Unfortunately, what we witnessed showed otherwise, that yes, this could happen in America the same way that it can happen in any other part of the world.
U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has called on President Donald Trump to resign or face impeachment. Pelosi said she's instructed the House Rules Committee to move forward with a motion for impeachment if Trump does not leave office voluntarily. Pelosi said in a statement after a three-hour meeting with House Democrats, the lawmakers will preserve every option, including Amendment 25, which deals with presidential succession and disability. Democratic representatives have reportedly prepared a draft article of impeachment against Trump. U.S. media says a draft accuses Trump of engaging in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting insurrection. Meanwhile, the U.S. president-elect has called Trump one of the most incompetent presidents in American history.
I've been saying for now well over a year, he is not fit to serve. He is not fit to serve. He's one of the most incompetent presidents in the history of the United States of America. And so the idea that I think he shouldn't be out of office yesterday is not...
Joe Biden said people who stormed the Capitol should be prosecuted, also urging that the breakdown of security at the Capitol grounds needs to be probed. U.S. President-elect stressed he has confidence in the country's Secret Service to make sure his presidential inauguration goes well. On Wednesday, Trump supporters stormed Congress building in a bid to overturn the election defeat. A new opinion poll says more than half of Americans want President Donald Trump to be immediately removed from office over the deadly unrest on Capitol Hill. According to a Reuters Ipsos poll, 7 out of 10 of those who voted for Trump in November opposed storming of the Capitol grounds. Nearly 70% of Americans surveyed also said they disapprove of Trump's actions in the run-up to the assault. Five people were killed when Trump supporters overran the U.S. Congress on Wednesday. And Twitter has permanently suspended U.S. President Donald Trump's account, citing the risk of further incitement and violence. Twitter said the decision was made after a close review of recent tweets on Trump's account and the context around them. It said that two of the president's tweets violated the company's policy against glorification of violence. Twitter had initially blocked Trump's account temporarily following the siege of Capitol Hill by his supporters on Wednesday. Now, the U.S. Is still in shock a few days after U.S. Congress came under attack by a large number of supporters of the U.S. president. Storming of the Capitol exposes deep-rooted divisions and serious lack of trust among Americans.
The United States is still reeling from what happened at the heart of the American democracy in the capital of the nation on Wednesday. The unprecedented chaos in Washington, D.C. has been described by many as a shattering blow to the image of America. The extent of polarization of the American society was on full display on Wednesday. Supporters of outgoing President Donald Trump, encouraged by him, marched to the Capitol building as the Congress was meeting to confirm Joe Biden's election victory. Chaotic scenes erupted as Trump supporters clashed with security forces and stormed the Capitol building. The violent mayhem temporarily blocked the counting of the Electoral College votes. Several people lost their lives inside and outside the Congress building. Trump, who has repeated claims of a stolen election, was widely condemned for inciting violence in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday.
What led to this one has been, in terms of its most recent context, 4 years of Donald Trump and Donald Trump lying to the American people about a number of things, but most recently lying to the American people about the election and the fact that that he won in his mind.
The storming of the Capitol building triggered a number of resignations from Trump's team less than 2 weeks before the outgoing president's term will be over. Meanwhile, senior Democrats are calling for Trump to be removed immediately. They want him to be forced out of office now, either under the disability clause of the 25th Amendment or through an impeachment. 4 years of Trump's divisive presidency seems to have fueled different divisions in the American society to an unprecedented level.
U.S. President Donald Trump knows all too well that he'll have to leave the White House soon, but he still insists that massive fraud led to Biden's victory back in the November vote. And that's what Trump told his supporters in Washington again this week, just before they stormed the Capitol building. So under immense pressure from Democrats and fellow Republicans, Trump is now committed to an orderly transition of power come January 20th. So what's the toughest task facing Trump's successor? There are many challenges facing Biden, but a divided America is perhaps the toughest of all.
The unprecedented violence in Washington, D.C. will undoubtedly be hard for America to recover from. Soon after the storming of the Capitol building by his supporters, Trump committed to an orderly transition of power later this month. But the damage is done. The bitter developments of this week seem to have hugely dented the credibility of America's democracy. Meanwhile, Wednesday's events in Washington drew reactions from around the world. Some countries went so far as to say that the chaos exposed internal collapse in the American political system and that the events showed Western democracy is fragile and broken.
America has been championing this fraud that America is the, as Ronald Reagan said, the shining city on the hill, and we profess to be the bastion of democracy, but the best way that America seems to be able to bring democracy to other places is at the barrel of a gun. And so What I honestly believe that this has done is it has exposed the hypocrisy of America.
American officials have long lectured the leaders of other countries on democratic values and peaceful transfer of power from one elected president to another. Americans have been very proud of peaceful and smooth handover of government every 4 years. But that did not happen this time. Some observers believe the post-election chaos in the United States shows a growing lack of trust in the system and elections. One recent opinion poll shows more than half of Republican voters believe Trump rightfully won the election. That's tens of millions of Americans that don't trust the election result. The incoming administration of Joe Biden will face many domestic and foreign challenges. But right now, perhaps leading a divided America will probably be the toughest task facing the future president of the United States.
Defend the Constitution.
North Korea's leader says that Washington's hostile policies toward Pyongyang will never change regardless of who occupies the White House. Kim Jong-un called the U.S. the biggest enemy of North Korea and an obstacle to its development. Kim said that North Korea's political activities need to be focused and redirected at subduing U.S. policies. He also called for more research and development of advanced military equipment, as well as expansion of the country's nuclear capabilities. Kim, however, stressed his country will not misuse its nuclear power. North Korea says its nuclear program is a strong deterrent against U.S. military threats. Talks aimed at denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula have been stalled for months over Washington's refusal to meet Pyongyang's demand for sanctions relief. London Mayor Sadiq Khan has declared COVID-19 a major incident, warning people to stay at home due to rapid spread of the virus throughout the British capital.
The reason I've had to declare a major incident today is because I'm afraid this virus is out of control. The NHS in London is at risk of being overwhelmed. The staff there are working heroically, but it's a real risk over the course of the next couple of weeks. Unless the virus reduces and there are a few people going to hospital, we could run out of beds.
Khan further said that 1 in 30 Londoners on average is now being infected, but figure is even higher in some parts of the capital. He added the number of COVID-related hospitalizations has increased by 35% compared to a peak in spring. The British government is grappling with a new variant of COVID-19, which emerged in southeast England last month. On Tuesday, the government announced a new nationwide lockdown to contain a rise in cases. On Wednesday, the country reported over 62,000 infections, setting a daily record for new cases. It also recorded over 1,000 daily deaths for the first time since April. And that's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, which was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We start from where we left you last week, and here is Ayah 26 of Surah Jathiyah.
قل الله يحييكم ثم يميتكم ثم يجمعكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
Say, O Prophet, it is Allah who gives you life, then He makes you die. Then He will gather you on the day of resurrection in which there is no doubt, but most people do not know.
If you remember, in our last Friday's episode of this series, while explaining the previous ayahs of this surah, we said that blind pursuit of materialistic life with immersion in sins deprives a person of faith in God and thereby denial of the hereafter. This means there is no logical argument for the disbeliever's refusal to believe in resurrection. And it is the height of absurdity for them to demand that their dead are immediately brought back to life. The ayah that we recited to you now commands the Prophet to explain to the disbelievers that the Almighty Creator brought you into existence and will make you die. Then, even though your corpses have decayed, become rotten bones and powered into dust, He will raise you to life in your original shape and size on the day of resurrection, of which there is no doubt. It is strange that you seem to be ignorant of these undeniable facts of the system of creation, which follows an order through the will of the All-Wise Creator. In other words, the evidence of divine omnipotence, wisdom, and justice is so clear that there is no room for any doubt or denial regarding resurrection. In other words, if you contemplate and properly use your God-given intellect, you will be able to recognize the order, harmony, and purpose of creation and become capable of perceiving the qualities of life, death, resurrection, and judgment. To be more precise, this worldly death is a preamble to everlasting life, since the purpose of the end of mundane life is prelude to immortality for all human beings, with the believers enjoying the perpetual bliss of paradise and the disbelievers the ceaseless torment of the fires of hell. Otherwise, the creation of the world would seem to be vain. This ayah teaches us the following points. Number one, life itself is the reason for certainty of the next life or resurrection for the day of judgment. And number two, disbelief is the result of the failure of a person to use the gift of intellect to properly contemplate on the manifest signs of God in the world of creation as well as in one's own self. Now let us listen to ayah 27 of the same surah.
وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَخْسَرُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ.
To Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And when the hur sets in, the falsifiers will be losers in that day. This ayah tells the deniers of the day of resurrection and judgment to ponder on the power of the Almighty Creator in the heavens and the earth in order to understand that He can revive them, since all existence is in His power. It warns mankind against denying truth and following falsehood so that they would not be the ultimate losers on the arrival of the day of resurrection. This means worldly losses are trivial, but the losses to be incurred on the day of resurrection shall be catastrophic. In other words, on the day of resurrection, the disbelievers and evildoers shall be the permanent losers, since they had spent their life in vanity and ignorance despite the ample opportunities provided to them by the all-merciful Lord to repent and reform. In other words, the mortal world of the transient world resembles a marketplace where people are supposed to accrue the gains of the hereafter, which are spiritual and necessary for everlasting life that follows. Failure to accrue gains despite the availability of the capital of life may be likened to a bankrupt merchant having lost his capital without accruing any gain from worldly life. There will be nothing in store for such persons except rue and regret on the day of resurrection. From this ayah, we learn the following points. Number one, the Almighty Creator is capable of recreating in their original form all things that have decayed and perished, including human beings. Number two, by contemplating on the wonders of the world of creation, one can discover the absolute truth about God and His blessings to all. And number three, resurrection is necessary for the final judgment to determine the purpose, the creation, by rewarding the righteous and punishing the evildoers. Now let us listen to Ayahs 28 and 29 of Surah Jasiyah.
وترى كل أمة جافية كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون
And you will see every nation fallen on its knees. Every nation will be summoned to its book of record of deeds. Today you will be requited for what you used to do. This is our book, which speaks truly against you. Indeed, we used to record what you used to do. On the day of resurrection, everyone shall kneel down in fear and anxiety, since the system of creation is kept in order and harmony, and the records of human deeds are based on manifest evidence. When the record of deeds is opened, everyone will be called to account on the basis of their deeds, and everyone shall be recompensed according to their deeds. It may also mean that the nations of the past will be judged by the heavenly scriptures revealed to their respective prophets and whether or not they acted upon its instructions. The word Jathia mentioned in Ayah 28 means kneeling down at the time of fear, awe, anxiety, humility, and submission. Since the record of deeds of each and every one will be open for the final judgment. As specified by Ayah 29, the book mentioned here is the record kept for everyone to detail their deeds, which means all nations have one single book in which everything and deeds of everyone are registered in it. The All-Merciful Creator will tell people that their book is before him, and it testifies to whoever has been done by each and every human being. From these ayahs, we'll learn that, number one, the system of creation is based on truth and justice, and the minutest acts of every single person are recorded in detail. And number two, the reward or punishment on the day of judgment is based on deeds done during mortal life, whether good or evil. Now let us listen to Ayahs 30 and 31 of this surah.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينُ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ
As for those who have faith and do righteous deeds, their Lord will admit them into His mercy. That is the manifest success. But as for the faithless, they will be asked, Were not my signs recited to you? But you were disdainful, and you were a guilty lot. On the day of judgment, people will be divided into groups for receiving either reward or punishment. The true believers will be showered with divine mercy and grace. And this is indeed the manifest success, or falzun mubin, as the Arabic phrase says. Of course, the firm faith of the true believers ought to be accompanied with righteous deeds to deserve the highest degrees of divine mercy and rewards. Although the All-Merciful Lord forgives the faults and sins of those who had repented and reformed themselves before death. As for the faithless, that is the disbelievers who had denied the teachings of the prophets and refused to submit to the one and only creator of the universe by indulging in polytheism, idol worship, atheism, and even distortion of the message of the heavenly scriptures in order to follow their vain desires and mislead others, they will be deprived of divine mercy. Sins stem from disbelief and arrogance. Thus, Ayah 31, following the previous ayah's expression of the sublime station of the believers and the virtuous persons, reproaches the disbelievers. It means to say, were not divine ayahs recited to you for your guidance by the prophets, the imams, the saints, the scholars, and the righteous persons? The torment and punishment in which you are engulfed now is the result of your own evil, since you were disdainful of the words of guidance and ended up as the guilty lot. From these ayahs, we learn the following points. Number one, true belief and righteous deeds are inseparable and lead towards perpetual bliss and salvation. Number two, disbelief and sins originate from arrogance and self-conceit. And number three, the all-merciful Lord never wrongs anyone, and it is only the sinners and disbelievers who wrong themselves by indulging in evil despite the ample opportunities for repentance provided by God.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We just discussed verse number 7, and we tried to complete the discussion on this verse. We came to realize that any phenomenon that transpires in this world is by Allah's leave. And if Allah makes anything happen, no one can try to challenge that thing to happen. Ultimately, whatever will happen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And we looked at some verses in this regard. Today we will look at other verses to understand this reality better.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 35 verse number 2 says, whatever mercy Allah unfolds for the people, no one can withhold it. And whatever He withholds, no one can release it except Him. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. From here, we have some very important points to ponder upon. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anything that Allah will open of His mercy, no one can block that, because no one has any power of his own. Anything that a person wants to do, it's by Allah's power. And therefore, when Allah wants something to happen, it will not allow anything to even do whatever it wants. It has, for example, it wills to, let's say, destroy a person. It cannot do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow that to happen. Why? Because existentially, Allah has control over that person. So coercively, you will find that the person will not be able to do anything. Either he will get sick or bedridden, or another phenomenon will transpire that will not allow him to do what he wants to do. Anything that Allah wants it to happen will happen. And whatever Allah wants to block, however a person struggles with all the means that he apparently sees, he will see that he will not be able to do anything. And then at the end, Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. These are two important names that actually explain the whole sentence of the verse. Aziz is somebody who is invincible in power. His power is unconquerable. His power is unchallengeable. You see, every power is submissive to Allah's power. Rather, every power is Allah's power. And therefore, we cannot say that, you know, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be challenged by a certain despot, for example, by him doing whatever Allah doesn't want existentially. No, existentially, no one can defeat Allah. So, Aziz shows that Allah's power is like that. No one can defeat. Whatever he wants will happen. Whatever he doesn't want will not happen. And then, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is not like the lay person who is ignorant. And sometimes you'll find that a good thing is happening, he will try to block that good thing, apparently. Why? Because he is jealous, for example. It's not out of wisdom, it's out of jealousy. So whenever we see some, you know, apparently you find that this is a good action, why was it blocked? Why did this person block? And why did Allah allow this to be blocked, for example? Sometimes, you know, let's say two people are getting married. These two people are very good for each other. But we don't know the secrets of what will happen afterwards. And somebody, due to jealousy, tries to make it in such a way that they don't get to each other, and the marriage breaks, or that it doesn't what happen, just because of, you know, the chit-chat of some people. And when this happens, the third person thinks that, you know, why did Allah make this happen? He doesn't realize that although that person who did all that was wrong, and he will get what he has to face, but when Allah allowed that, it is out of hikmah and wisdom. That is one of the most profound and understanding of the phenomena of what happens. Sometimes we think, oh, it's because of this satanic force that this happened to. Let's say we look at an example of the Palestinians and the Zionists that are perpetrating these massacres. Yes, what they are doing is completely wrong. But when this thing is allowed to happen by Allah's power, it is out of mercy and wisdom. Afterwards, we will come to realize. that those people who, for example, died as martyrs, they got a very high level, such that they would say, I wish I came back and got martyred and went back. I sacrificed. Or, for example, those who are in very difficult circumstances, you find that a future awaits for them that is good for this world and the hereafter, and so on. So any phenomenon that we see, it is out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. This is in chapter Fatir, verse number 2.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
The second very important verse is chapter 3, verse number 160. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Which means, if Allah helps you, no one can overcome you. But if He forsakes you, who will help you after Him? So in Allah, let all the faithful put their trust. So you leave your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that, you know, no one can overpower. If Allah wants good for you, no one can do anything. Now, this is something very important, that you entrust your affairs on Allah and expect the best from Him, because He only wants the best for His servants. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را یا
سجاد. The bustle of life. The sound of living. The sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The article you're going to hear has been penned by Robert Lewis. Robert Lewis is a lawyer licensed in California. He has worked in leading US, UK, and Chinese law firms in China for nearly 30 years. The article is titled, Under Biden, US Set to Resume Globalist Policies. Joe Biden's victory in the U.S. presidential election, Donald Trump's America First doctrine will be jettisoned, and Biden will seek to return the United States to pre-Trumpian norms. That is expected to mean a return to the Paris Climate Accord, the Iran nuclear deal, and perhaps even the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Meanwhile, the challenges in the Sino-U.S. relationship will not have magically gone away when Biden takes over, and political matters in relation to China are now so entrenched in the US that no major substantive policy changes may be possible. Fate would have it, Joe Biden and his fellow Democrats again find themselves assuming power in the wake of a global economic downturn. In 2009, it was in the immediate aftermath of the global financial crisis. Now, it is in the midst of a renewed lockdowns across Europe and the United States. In an effort to try to stop the second wave of COVID-19 infections from overwhelming the healthcare system. It will likely take many months into the Biden administration for vaccines to bring the United States, its allies in the other major industrialized nations and other affected parts of the world back to normal. So there are two parts to the Biden administration's goal of getting things back to normal. There is the pre-Trumpian globalist normal, and then there is the pre-pandemic normal. At some point, he and other Western leaders will have to explain why China and other parts of Asia have been back to normal since the late second quarter of 2020, while a return to normal in the United States and Europe now is not projected to occur until at least the third quarter in 2021 at the earliest. Politicians always deflect blame for problems. Donald Trump blamed China for the pandemic. Joe Biden will blame Donald Trump for any pandemic-related problems going forward. In any event, Biden will have to play the cards he has been dealt, and his performance will be measured by actual results. A key component of the global system is trade, and the system is designed to promote more open trade in order to increase global trade volumes and economic development. Donald Trump's America First doctrine is generally understood to be protectionist in nature, and thus presumably anti-trade. His use of tariffs as instruments of trade warcraft similarly has been criticized as antithetical to sound economic and trade principles. However, historical trade statistics over the last decade paint a picture that suggests that continued growth in global trade may not be directly tied to who is in the White House. During the Obama-Biden years, after a steep decline in global export trade volumes in 2009 following the global financial crisis, global exports rebounded rapidly to set new highs for a period of four consecutive years, from 2011 through to 2014, ultimately reaching a peak of $18.9 trillion in 2014. In contrast, in 2015 and 2016, global trade volumes declined by more than 15%, putting global trade levels back on par with pre-crash levels and erasing all the gains in the preceding years. Then comes along a virus. In April of this year, global trade volumes plummeted a remarkable 12.2% in just 1 month. To put this in context, from January of 2010, the monthly change in trade volume had been characterized by an alternating series of small peaks and small valleys, generally with month-on-month increases of no more than 2.5% and decreases of less than 2%. In light of the precipitous drop in trade volumes due to the pandemic, the World Trade Organization WTO projected in April that trade volumes were set to plunge by between 13% and an almost unimaginable 32% for the full year 2020. This dire forecast by the World Trade Organization experts failed to recognize the apparently unstoppable momentum of global trade, even in the midst of a global pandemic. In May, the monthly decline in trade volume was only 0.9%, and the June trade volumes had jumped back into the plus column, giving 7.9%, followed by smaller but still historically high rates of increase over the next 4 months. By early October, the World Trade Organization had revised its guidance to forecast an overall 9.2% decline in trade in goods for 2020, followed by a 7.2% rise in 2021. The forecast drop for 2020 is still sobering, but pales in comparison with the more than 22% decline in global trade in 2009 after the global financial crisis. The forecast 2020 drop is also smaller than the two-year decline of more than 15% in the last part of the Obama-Biden administration. Some additional historical perspective is required to more fully understand the irresistible force of global trade. Even with a modest decline from 2018, as noted above, global trade for 2019 was still up more than 350% over 1995 levels, which were $5.19 trillion, and a remarkable 6,300% higher than 1970 level of trade, which was $302.3 billion. It appears, at least so far, that not even a pandemic can stop the long-term growth of global trade. As author and columnist Zachary Carabel commented in March, when we assess the prospects for global trade going forward in the full historical context, it would appear more plausible that the most coronavirus future will see not an end to the globalizing trend of recent decades, but a new chapter in the story. Stated otherwise, if Donald Trump and COVID-19 did not derail global trade, maybe nothing can.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.